Peace and blessings, everybody. Cypher Supreme, Rod in the building. We back with another podcast. I'm with my co-host right here, Isis Earth Ra-Maat.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to send a special shout out to the UK, Nigeria, Canada for supporting my shit. Y'all the real ones. Y'all really been showing up, showing up in my analytics. And I appreciate y'all tuning in and y'all watching my podcast, man. Anything? Hopefully y'all tell a friend and keep it going. And I got some good things lined up off chip. But the subject we want to talk about today, that's why I got another person on today and this one as well. From a female perspective, we want to talk about Trial 4. That is a series, a documentary series that's on Netflix.
Netflix, yes.
And it's talking about the trial of a young man, Sean Ellis, young black man at the time that got accused of a murder of a police officer in which he did not commit.
Mm-hmm.
With little to no physical evidence, he was convicted, and he had appealed, and he ended up going to the to his fourth trial almost before he was finally vindicated. But he had to serve 20 plus years in prison before he was finally let go and freed by the system.
The system that is not for nobody that don't look like me, for sure.
Right.
Racist. And my whole thing was this. This is how it all started. Sean went to Walgreens around, was it like one or between 1 and 4 in the morning to get his child diapers?
Between 1 and 3, something, a little bit past 3 a.m. or something like that.
But before that, he had found out that two of his cousins were murdered. And he's like, hey, I want to get down to this. Two cousins were murdered over a gold chain. Yeah, right. Petty. So then they're like, do you know anything about it? And he was just like, oh, I went to Walgreens. Here's my receipt. Then they're like, oh, you killed this cop, which none of his DNA, meaning fingerprints, was ever on the gun. And then his bitch-ass homie tried to blame that shit on him, right? Tried to say he's the one who did it, and he told me to run. And his uncle, oh, God, his uncle is a bitch, lied to them police on his nephew just because he was a convicted felon. See, motherfuckers ain't got no loyalty, and this is why I be telling people, be careful who you call your motherfucking friend.
Come on with it. Yep. Yeah, you was about to touch on what I was about to go and touch on. I was going to segue into it via Sean Ellis' Netflix thing. This ain't necessarily all going to be about the Netflix, but I suggest y'all check that out if y'all not familiar with Sean Ellis or ever heard the brother speak about and being an advocate for a lot of convicted people, innocent people convicted for crimes that they'll never see the light of day for. He's doing a good job for that. But I was gonna segue into what you were saying about watching out for who you roll with out here, man, in these streets. This is for the younger people, man. You and anybody, it don't matter. The thing about it is that you got people out here, man, that will fold on you, period. And we know that Sean Ellis' uncle at the time had like some legal issues going on.
Yes.
I think he was on paper or something.
Yes.
He was on parole, actually.
Yes.
And they kind of like scared him up. But from an integrity or moral standpoint, I felt like I was disgusted. It's going to be three things I'm going to talk about I was disgusted by. This is the first one. I think that was the first one that fucked me up.
Right.
When they kind of like threatened him or told him that they can do something illegal to him as far as like getting him convicted or getting him back to prison, he folded on his nephew without him even knowing anything. He just let them dictate to him what to say and how to say it. You know, it's the either me or you attitude. This is what makes me scared to socialize with people, period, like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, a lot of people talk this, that, and the third, but at the end of the day, man, a nigga will throw you under the bus quick than a motherfucker.
And knowing that it's a lie.
Knowing it's a lie. Yeah, they'll stand on that lie because, I mean, shit. I mean, yeah, like, look here, man, my life ain't worth this. I mean, I just, Listen, I know everybody should value their life and right. their freedom and shit. But at the end of the day, man, if a motherfucker didn't do nothing, and you sitting up here talking about this is your nephew, this is the boy you wanted to respect, you wanted him to respect you growing up, this is the young child that you, that he looked up to you at a certain point, and then get it all taken back because you want to lie on him. That shit was disgusting, bro. And because your ass was on parole and they kind of scared you up and used your parole, your legal situation against you, you was willing to like throw say, fuck your conscience. Fuck your conscience if you got one. I don't even think he had one. I was listening to him talk. He really seemed like one of them cats who really don't give a fuck about nothing. At the end of the day, and at his expense, I don't think he really minded, like, throwing him under the bus. And I was just looking at that. I was thinking to myself, I'm looking at that situation, but I tried to put myself in his shoes even. I don't know why, but I did. I said, would I do that to somebody? Would I do that to my nephew? If that if he got accused of something, they told me to say some shit that I know ain't true just to help them get him locked up because they want him to be locked up. And then they don't threaten me and shit because, like, I mean, shit, they might really throw my ass in the thing. And then I had to think about, like, look what you have been through, Supreme. I mean, have you ever folded on niggas before? And I'm like, no. And I'd be like, dog, ain't no motherfucking excuse for dude to, have done that and then explained it the way he explained it on that damn documentary.
Because a real person would have just said I was scared, so I lied to get out of trouble. And you didn't have to, he didn't have to go into detail and said mm-hmm. I was wrong for what I did.
Well, anytime you get a whole big old woo-woo out of it, you already know what time it is. They're mm-hmm. trying to sell it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, dog, that was just fucked. It just gave me all. It just kind of gave me a fucked up feeling all over. I'm like, dog. Then I started thinking about, I wonder who would do that shit to me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not to say I would never want to be in that situation that brother was in, but I'm saying, well, ain't nobody above nothing. You see what happened to him? He was just going to get Pampers from fucking Walgreens, bro.
For his baby.
And then look what the fuck he walked into, man.
And his cousins got murdered. You don't think that sat with him on top of that?
Yeah,
all those years in prison?
Yeah, all them years. And, you know, the thing about the host of other family and friends he probably lost. I said, man, oh man, this is what paranoids the fuck out of me with people. You don't give nobody no power to say nothing about you, bruh. See? You get it? That's why I move the way I move now, because niggas like that.
Yes.
You know, fuck that shit. I don't give a fuck what you try to present yourself as. I'm still going to always have that thing in me to be like, mm-hmm, we'll see.
I feel like the family should have disowned his ass. Like, don't you ever come around me no motherfucking more or else.
Yeah, they should have.
Because fuck you.
I mean, that's that man in his life and how he wanted to walk that path. You know, and, you know, it is what it is. Now, the second thing I'm going to come to. And then we're going to take it full circle after the third thing. But the second thing I want to go into is the system itself. How those evil
devils,
they goddamn right. Devils, cave beasts, all that other good shit. K-9 posse.
The RH blood type having motherfuckers.
RHs, or whatever you want to call them, whatever nickname you got. Because it was a whole bunch of them until the sister came in later, and we'll get into her, Rachel Rollins. They stood on that lie as well. You know, they had to because they were dirty cops. And it was disgusting to see how they wanted to shit on this man's name. But this dirty cop that was killed, actually, a dirty cop was killed. And that was the cop that he was accused of killing or whatever the case
may be. John James Mulligan or some shit.
Yeah, the Officer Mulligan. That's all I remember. The Mulligan. I remember that Mulligan name. Mulligan. He was a dirty cop. But they didn't put two and two together till like some years later or whatever.
But I knew it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, think about when people get killed. Mm-hmm. But my thing was, how could you feel so arrogant to sleep with your window rolled down and your shit unlocked. Never in life would I ever do something that motherfucking stupid.
Right.
Arrogant, son of a bitch.
Then you have the other two. They have funny ass names. Brazil and what was the other fucked up cop name?
I can't even remember.
It was Brazil and some other shit. I can remember the Brazil dude. Brazil. Now, or Brizzle, what do they call
him? They call him Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. Or it's spelled Brazil, but they call him Brazil. Or whatever the fuck. These motherfucking dirty motherfuckers was tied in to Mulligan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tell the whole documentary if you ain't see it, but they was dirty cops tied into him or whatever the case may be, and they had to go ahead and find somebody to blame because a lot of shit would have came back on them if they would have figured out, you know, or thoroughly investigated it. They would have knew that from the jump. Come to find out, the whole crime scene wasn't thoroughly investigated. Word on the street was Mulligan was caught with his pants down when he got killed. And then on top of that, that's why it took so long for him to even get to a certain point, because I guess they had to pull the nigga pants up. You know what I'm saying?
Because the rule is you cannot remove a body unless you take crime scene photo. You're not even supposed
to touch a body.
Until you take crime scene photo.
But they touched that motherfucker.
And how'd you miss the cell phone that was right in that motherfucker? And
they didn't find a cell phone that was in that car for 15 years. They didn't get that damn phone. And then for another, how many years? Damn near, what, 19 years? They didn't find that other gun in the woods? And then they just kept on shitting on the brother. And they always wanted to preserve the name of this dirty fucking cop. But it was another cat brave enough to get on there and talk about his ass. They said the dude was a pedophile. He used to buy a lot of hookers and stuff like that. But it was always young hookers. 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds.
Like minors.
Minors, yeah.
And this guy is well in his 50s.
Well in his 50s. And he used to like do like dominant and disrespectful things to him.
Make that one girl's face all bloodied in her throat, just beat her ass.
Yeah, he had probably a hooker in the car. That's how they got the drop on him. He probably had a hooker in the car. It could have been the hooker that killed him. We don't know who killed him to this day. Don't nobody know who killed him.
Well, it goes back to this.
It was covered up. Somebody know, but.
It goes back to this. So, Mr. Mulligan, like some years before that, was having sex with another detective's daughter who was like 13 or 14.
Yeah,
and this black man said, you're going to get shot in your face in front of Walgreens. So how in the fuck? I'm not saying maybe he did it or had someone. But why wasn't he never investigated in the whole shit? You didn't even see him in the documentary, because that would be my number one suspect. Because the brother said something too. Her brother said something, or somebody that knew him.
Well, it wasn't meant for that to be. That's why it was. That's how we know they didn't address the cover-up more in depth than I thought they would have in that documentary. Because obviously there was a cover-up somewhere. So somebody knows something about something. And then these other dirty motherfucking cops. Man, this is like a brother's worst nightmare. The other two, Brazil and the nerdy-looking motherfucker that was going around robbing drug dealers and then setting them up and telling them, we gonna plant this on you if you don't find this person. And they just basically using their full authority to just fuck people over, man.
They got Jose De La Rosa like that too, yeah, but Jose somebody exposed
but
him.
But it was more than him. It was like
10, 15
other people. You know, and I mean, it was some powerful shit, man, for dude to overcome. I mean, to be in that place, man, for as long as he was in there.
22 and 7 months.
And you know, for them to let him go. Let's get to the third thing that fucked me up, though. Now, when they had no other choice but to just drop charges, you know what these bitches did? They got up there in this press conference. That's why I ain't fucking with Massachusetts. I ain't fucking with Massachusetts. I got some cousins over there, but I ain't fucking with it. Now, look, man. They got up there in that press conference and said, oh, well, because, you know, we talked about the cop, Mulligan and Brazil and blah, 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 to protect their integrity, you know, that when there was dirty cops, they weren't talking about Mulligan, but they were talking about the other two that he was locked in with. You know, they was dirty cops, but it had nothing to do with this case. In this case,
bullshit.
They said that he was still, you know, They basically saying they felt like he did the shit, but they ain't had no evidence. And now they dropping the trial because, you know, a dude had three hung fucking juries any fucking way. Well, two hung juries, and then they forced it to get him convicted after that.
But you don't think how we always talk about straddling the field of good and evil? If I was doing that shit, somebody would come in my shit and kill me.
But that tell you how the powers that be is and how fucking disgusting they was. If he had two hung juries, usually if you got a hung jury, man, you good to go. That first one. But they kept on trying it and trying it and trying it. His dude even said it. He got up there on TV and said, like, dog, we going to still pursue this. Even though it's a hung jury, we going to keep going until we get a conviction. I'll be damned if that ain't what the fuck they did. But then when it gets to the point to where they have to let him go, and then, you know, they had let him out for a while. And then while he was free, he was still appealing it, trying to go to a fourth trial.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And so
how could you sleep at night knowing you're fucking lying? Because my thing is,
because they have to cover up their own. They look out for their own, but this nigga couldn't find nobody to look out for him. Shit, I think his baby mama even turned on him and shit for a hot second.
Because she said something about him having guns in the house, and there was no, fingerprints were not on the gun. And then when she went to testify on him, they put her fingerprints at the crime scene. How was that possible? All her fingerprints
was on there. And then they tried to say that he brought the guns to her house as a trophy or some dumb, goofy ass shit.
But then how do you explain them finding that shit in the woods? See, he's a good one, because I wouldn't have been with that bitch either. And they threatened to take her children away.
I don't think he was with her. I mean, he didn't blame her. He even said that himself. So he said he put himself in that woman's shoes. He was like, well, when you think about it, you know, family-wise, and, you know, she got kids to raise. I mean, you know, she had to make a decision. He said he know her heart and he know her nature, which he is a good guy for saying that. I would have been mad at her, too. Don't get me wrong. Shit, I'm a different nigga. I ain't him. I would have been mad at that bitch, too. Like, bitch, stop fucking lying. I don't give a fuck what they told you. You don't fold on me like that. And plus, I'm innocent, too. It's not really like you folding on nothing. You standing on right. You standing on right, man. What the fuck? I mean, come on, man.
I would have told them, take my motherfucking kids, because at this point, I feel like they owe Sean.
Well, they had him. He got him back ASAP anyway.
They owe him money. He lost all his children's lives growing up. What
I'm getting to is all these people played a role in him getting convicted, and they didn't even fucking know it. Because they was going with the fucking narrative in which they was forced to go with by these fucking bitches.
Right.
Punk ass, faggot ass, bacon oink oink ass, cracker ass crackers. You understand?
Right.
All right, y'all. Don't silence me for that. No, I'm just
they evil, bro. Like,
but no, I had to say it like that, though. Man, that's some real shit. Fuck them people.
But people don't realize when you do wrong, that shit comes back. I'll give you an example. A few years ago when I was on a certain assignment, this woman was divorcing her husband because he was abusive. Do you know this motherfucker came back and killed everybody that had anything to do with her getting a divorce and killed himself? And there was a point on the job where the armed people had to stand with me all day. So I'll be telling people, you might be thinking you're getting away with it now, but then you wonder why your marriage and people in your family dying and bullshit happens, because you put that energy out there.
Right. That's true. That's true. And, you know, that's sad, man. And, you know, this is why in life, don't cap for somebody, give somebody too much credit, put somebody on a pedestal in your life. I don't care if it's the mother of your children, it's your uncle, whoever, your daddy, I don't know, it could be anybody. It depends on what situation you're coming out of. You know, you can't always depend on somebody being as strong or as righteous as you are, okay? You can't always think somebody gonna treat you the way you treat them equally. You're not going to get that back. Okay? And you can't really expect somebody to go as hard as you go. Nobody can match that energy unless you find somebody with that same energy as you have. You right. can't expect somebody from a whole different era to match whatever the hell you coming out of. That's very rare in families or in groups and situations. Everybody comes with something different.
That is so true. This is why... And until somebody can prove it to me, I don't cap for, I stop capping for people. I stop doing nice shit because I've even learned in the past year, as thoughtful as I've been to people, they don't show that shit back.
No cap, so, 2020.
So if you don't show me that you truly care about me or you don't reach out to me, I'm going to treat you how the fuck you treat me. But at the end of the day, I'm wrong for it though, right?
No. You're right. I mean, you stand on it like a rock. Right. That's the way I look at it because, I mean, you can't expect somebody to always... I'm just saying, I'm just letting people know, you know, keep you more disappointed. Even in relationships with women, man, you can't expect a lot of things. What I want people to do more so, especially a lot of you beta males, you have to expect the worst and expect a different perspective and be willing to be open-minded and learn and hear from somebody else who may have more experience than you. To tell you what can happen in life, and you won't be broken hearted or saying somebody was not loyal to you or they broke your heart. But, I mean, this goes in any scenario because this dude was all that and then some. Broken right. heart, betrayed, lied on. Character was assassinated for many years, even after he was released. And probably still to this day, his character being assassinated in 2020. He's been out since 2016. You gotta think about that, man. Dude, I mean...
Emotional.
He went through that. This is a strong man, Sean Ellis. Went through that. And the only real person that stood by his side, you know, to a degree, his mom was there for him. His sister was there for him.
They kept telling him, I love you,
and,
I love you.
And thankfully, that attorney actually didn't BS him. She came back to him and got back to him and represented him. She didn't just see an opportunity for success for herself. She, I believe, genuinely, sincerely, she saw an opportunity to get justice and for an innocent person. Not somebody that's not guilty, quote, a total innocent person that had to sit up there and be called a cop killer for 20-some-odd years and still really get labeled that. Now, here comes the sister. I think at the time, this is when Rachel Rollins got elected over there. As the what was it? What position he was going for? The whatever. Rachel Rollins. She got it.
Ain't she, one of them bitches a judge now? We're lying.
I'm not talking about her. I ain't talking about the white lady. I'm talking about the sister that was coming into office.
Yes.
When she got up there, I'm questioning, was she really gonna do the right thing once she got elected? I mean, I think she was using, like the other candidates was, when she was trying to get voted in, I think she was using Sean Ellis' name for clout.
Because what did she really do for him? Nothing?
She didn't do shit, because they had to make the decision for her before she got in. I heard her say,
whatever decision.
This is allegedly, I don't know. This is word on the street that she said, like, y'all need to clean up this bullshit, so I won't have to clean up this bullshit when I got up in her.
But you're a black woman, so why wouldn't you help your people? This is why.
But she clout chasing this dude's name, but you didn't want to handle that business. She could have easily got up in there and released him and vindicated him and had a real press conference and said some real shit on his behalf instead of that disgusting shit they got up there and said.
She said, I'm for the people. I'm going to help him.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all I tell you. Just because you look like me don't mean you're worth the shit.
No. I mean, then... Because the only reason why I say this, I don't know what she would have did, but the only reason why I'm asking is because...
District attorney.
What I'm asking is, when she got on that news show and they asked her what she would have done or what she would have been pleased with, what was going on, and if they didn't let him cut him loose, you know, she kind of like... grinned a little bit and kind of like dismissed the question and went around the question instead of answering it. And I'd be like, damn, man. He won. This is why he's going to be, to me, I think he should be like celebrated in a way for in Black History and for Black History Month, Sean Ellis, right. Because he won and got out of a situation that most men are not going to get out of, and 9 times out of 10, nobody can beat that when you up against a crooked system. Anyway, and then this is what I'm telling how impossible it is. they showed and proved where he wasn't guilty.
Yep.
But yet and still, this dude still ended up getting convicted. Two hung juries. Two.
I thought there was something in play called double jeopardy. Once you're charged, once you can't keep doing it again.
He didn't get charged. I mean, you mean convicted?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I thought you couldn't do that anymore.
He had two hung juries before he got convicted. No, he can't get reconvicted. But I'm just saying. That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. He had two hung juries, though, was what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they got him. And, like, it's people in prison right now, man. It's people locked up right now ain't did shit. And they got to stay there. All these cases that nobody took time to look at, that motivated me to start looking at people's cases, right?
Yes.
I'm looking at a lot of people's cases that look fucked the fuck up.
The evidence don't make
sense.
The
little shit I can read about it. The people that... how the fuck is these people getting convicted?
I feel, maybe I may be wrong, but I feel if you're black, you're guilty. If you're Hispanic, you're guilty. Automatic, they don't give a fuck.
Man, it's a lot of motherfuckers in that joint.
And you know what? I really honestly know... that Sean's lawyer had heart, because when she was in high school, her mom couldn't afford her tuition. She was working after school to pay that. And yeah. She grew up in the same neighborhood, and she gives back to cases. That's the way she gives back.
Well, I mean, for one, she was raised like that. I think she's like a throwback. She come from a throwback household where, you know what I'm saying, you got to get it how you live. And, you know, ain't nobody finna throw a silver spoon in your mouth. And everything gonna be just there for you. You know what I'm saying? You gonna have to go out there and earn it. And show some independency. And not always make yourself a victim about worrying about who helping your black ass. I mean, well, she ain't black, but I'm just saying. That's the way we was raised. You know what I'm saying? So
right. She paid her tuition in high school. Most children now wouldn't do that.
I mean, nobody do that. I don't know too many kids to pay their fucking tuition. You kidding? Are you kidding? You know what I'm saying? Shit. I mean, that's what make her good, though. I mean, she got that drive in her. So, you know, she did a good thing, man. I think that was one of the biggest deals she did, helping get him off. Because she played a big role in getting dude up out of there. But him having that patience and all that determination. He waited 18 months.
To hear back from her.
Yeah.
Well, this is a crazy part was when she requested, she paid almost $4,000 to get the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
They took 2-3 years. And then she's like, I want you to show me that you paid these people, because there's no way if you're paying $10,000, $15,000, and $20,000 to someone that money from the police department is unannounced for. You pay Rosa.
And then on top of that, I mean, they couldn't even find the people who paid the snitches. The ones that, the people that paid informants.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who made up the story about she seen him by the phone and then by the car at 3 a.m. Not giving up too much about the documentary, but the girl and the other guy who supposed to have got paid $9,000 and she got paid like $15,000. They allegedly said they was paid by the police. So I guess there was an award for that. So I guess, of course, if you give me money, I'm going to tell you a story. That's how most people are. Me personally, no, I could not do that. I could, like, dude, I can't tell you nothing I didn't see or witness to. For one, I ain't gonna be up in there worrying about a damn $9,000 or $15,000 reward. You know, I don't give a fuck how raw I'm living. Fuck out of here. And then, like, some people are low down like that, though.
Right.
So, you know, there's people out here that will do that shit, man.
Ruined somebody's life on a lie, including
for
his
a little
uncle.
Bit of nothing. That money probably didn't last them to the next goddamn year.
So then my thing is, if they're paid witnesses to lie, why aren't they locked the fuck up? Because you cannot go in front of a judge. It's a felony to fucking lie, whether you're a cop or a lawyer.
Well,
or nothing.
You have to prove that they lied, though. That's what they're saying. They're okay. Saying he was still culpable. Did you hear the press conference on the documentary? They said he was still culpable. Right?
Dang shit, man.
They just said lack of fucking evidence. The witnesses ain't had nothing to do with it. Like, they said lack of evidence got him out. He's still culpable. Is so what they saying.
They could come back and try to do this shit again.
Nah. It's over. They had to let it go. I'm just saying, they felt like he was culpable. But they don't give a fuck how they feel. They still had to let him go, though. At the end of the day, motherfucker, they had to say charges are dropped.
I can only imagine the PTSD and the depression and what happened to him behind bars, known as a cop killer. Like, that stress that would probably make me want to kill myself, knowing shit.
Yeah, he got, like, this energy about him, though. Like, it's, like, serene. Like, he got a peace of mind. You know, I don't know how he was able to carry himself, carrying all that weight like that over the years, and what he'd been through with his so-called peoples, his own peoples. And then, you know, to get out. I mean, I know he was thankful and he had a lot of gratitude. That itself is a lot of weight off your shoulders. But, and being back with your family and the people that you remember you had good times with, you know, and stuff like that. But I just don't see how he had that energy. If you look at him, you know, he got that energy with him. Like, he just, you know, was just positive and stuff like that, man. You know, I try to be as positive as I can and have a great attitude and stuff like that. But I'm saying, like, after a while, though, you know, you get a little bitter, man, a little tainted. And I don't know if I have that strength and stuff like that.
Right.
This dude here.
He's blocked.
Yeah, good. He should be. Yeah.
But, like, how could you hold your head up? He missed his adulthood. He was only 19. Like, all the things that we got to experience. Mm-hmm. He never got to be with his children until they were grown. I could only imagine. Like, even Khalif Browder's mother died because of all that stress that case called her. And he killed himself. He couldn't take it no more.
Mm-hmm.
So I could only imagine he did way more time than him.
Once he got out, he still was kind of suicidal and stuff.
It's sad.
I know, man.
Evil ass people do this shit for a living and could sleep.
And then on top of that, you got people around you to this day that's like that. That's even off of illegal matters. And then, I mean, it's a story of triumph, and then it's a tragedy. It's all that stuff. You know, losing one of your closest relatives, then boom, all of a sudden you're going to get your baby Pampers, and then boom, you in prison, then boom, you finally released. Boom, the baby you was getting Pampers for is a grown-ass woman now. You know what I mean? That's some rough shit, bruh. How many people think they can be strong enough to hold on to that? I mean, that's, oof, man, that's crazy. But y'all definitely, if y'all haven't seen it yet, check out that documentary.
Trial 4 on Netflix.
And till now, I truly believe that there's still a lot of flaws in the justice system. And these people should be, these cases, not just his. Because he also said it himself, man. He's like, this bigger than me, though. It ain't all about me. He's been saying that since the day he got out. Mm-hmm. He's like, this ain't about me. It's bigger than me. It's people out there that's just like me and probably will never get out. You know, be as lucky as me to get out of prison. They may have to stay there for the rest of their life. You know what I mean? So
based off a lie.
Off a lie and wrong evidence or whatever the case may be. You know,
I remember a case that was way before I was born. This little boy was like 11 years old. His sister was found raped and strangled. They made him confess that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even, none of his DNA was even on her.
Now, I don't remember this brother's name. He's an athlete as well. He was going to be a football player. He definitely was going to turn professional. And I think he works for the Seahawks now as a coach in the coaching staff. I don't know if he still hold that title or not.
Mm-hmm.
He was accused of rape. Back in college, right? Yeah. By some chick made up a lie and said that he raped her.
Mm.
And they convicted him off just the word of this bitch, right? And years later, he's able to get released and he was able to talk to her. Somehow, he was able to convince her to come to a restaurant and have a conversation. And he asked her flat out, you know, he taped the whole conversation too. Why did she lie on him and say that, you know, and she apologized to him and said she was sorry for lying on him and shit like that. And he was able to take that shit back. And I think more bitches like that should be convicted.
Yes.
For lying too.
Right.
You know, cops is hard to get to. But these lying, dirty cops is doing people like that, jamming people up the way they be jamming people up. And, you know, and these women out here accusing people of stuff like this, it should be like some type of penalty behind that shit.
That should be the highest level felony, and you do an easy 10 without even blinking.
A mandatory.
Yep.
A mandatory 10 years. Or whatever that person was convicted for, you get double that for being a fucking liar.
Man, you make me want to write our Congress and start sending off letters and shit and changing how shit is done.
Yeah, watch writing Congress. You might lose your job. You about to lose your job. You saw they did Craig Hodges when he wrote the goddamn president. Dude didn't get on another NBA team ever since, goddamn. You know, I ain't telling y'all to be scared, and I'm just making jokes because I do the same shit. I wouldn't give a shit. You fire me, motherfucker. I don't give a fuck.
There is another case that was brought to my attention when I was about 12.
And motherfuckers who think I'm lying and jacking, you better check my resume. I don't give a fuck. Trust me. Not a flying. I don't got a reason to.
So there's this case I found out when I was like 12. This brother had a baby with a white girl. This bitch killed her baby, blamed it on him. He did a lot of years, wrote her and said, I'm sorry I lied on you. Like, damn. Bitch, you gotta be out of your fucking mind. You could have gave that child to the dead and or left, removed yourself.
Yep.
Evil.
I agree.
Evil, man.
People evil as hell, man. And, you know, now when I'm getting older and I start looking at these situations, you know, I'd be like, man, this is why, you know, a lot of people are mad about this quarantine shit, but this quarantine shit is a blessing. I mean, yes. It don't affect me because they, you know, I'm still flying everywhere, shit like that. I mean, I still got to move the way I move. It don't affect you either much.
No.
But, I mean, it's still a blessing. I need to take this in and be like, this is a blessing, man. It's for the y'all who got to stay at home and shit. And, dog, man, listen. This is the best reason to be antisocial. Perfect excuse. You know, with COVID, you know, right. We have a kickback when it's over with. You know, that's a good fucking excuse. I use it still on myself. I ain't gonna lie. I can't use it now because I don't said it, but.
Right.
Yeah, man, come through, man. When this COVID shit over, man, come on through. We're going to have a kickback. That's so fake. I don't know.
I try to go to people's homes anyways, because during this time, I don't know who you have in your crap and are you sanitizing your home the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
You fuck around and get COVID going over somebody else.
Right. Yeah, I don't fuck around. I mean, that's real shit though, halfway though. I'm just bullshitting, like, you know, in a way. Now, I mean, when I'm talking, I mean, I'm trying to be funny at the same time I'm being real. You know,
right.
The thing is that, you know, you do have to make sure you're safe and, your health is important. Your family health is important. But also if you're an essential worker and you out here, you got to get out here, be safe. You know, let alone we all have to worry about a goddamn, pandemic. But the scary thing is that this epidemic that Sean Ellis speak of, we have to worry about that, too. Every day we leave our homes, it's an element of danger of getting
locked up,
killed. Robbed, killed, hurt. You know what I mean? So it's all about being careful. And I just want us to all come back and be a community again where we can look out for each other comfortably.
Right.
And we don't have to worry about police brutality or someone's committing a crime against you. Because we all know we can't just simply depend on the police when we need an emergency or something like that. Because, you know, the right now is the right now. They can't get to you within 2 minutes of the crime, you know, unless they witness it or like that. I've seen police drive past
a crime.
Somebody. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've seen it.
Man,
you know, so, I mean, it's a lot to worry about. Let alone a pandemic, but when you go into a store to buy Pampers, just be careful, man, and come with the power and the spirit and the energy of your great warrior ancestors and spiritual ancestors with you, man, because at the end of the day, you know, you need that extra boost to make sure you're going to be all right, You know what I mean? Because all of us don't get a chance to come back home and bring back those items for whatever reason.
Do you know, back when I was living back home, like literally this is a police department. These are the apartments. This young man was shot and they took 5 fucking hours to come over there.
Yeah.
You could literally walk in that motherfucker from the police station. Mm-hmm. Or think about the lady about 6 months ago. Black lady calls 911 because she's being robbed and they shot her in her own fucking house. Really? Or let's talk about that white cop who shot that man, broke in his fucking house and shot his ass.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even be safe in your own fucking house.
No, you ain't
safe. These are the days. These are the times.
No, you ain't. You got people that's going to come to your doorstep. I mean, it's going to be times where people's hands are going to be feel like they're forced to come or invade your household. So that's why I said community control has to resurrect itself at an all-time high and come back 1,000% stronger than what it was. Even back in the day when we really had community control and things of that nature. And that, things that go so much smoother and hand in hand. And a lot of stuff we'll have to worry about. And then we're going to let them handle the pandemic, I guess.
My thing is...
you got to handle it too. Y'all got to accept responsibility. They can't give you no answers. I mean, you got to learn how to have some type of inner strength and figure out what you going to do and how you going to do it to get to where you need to get to.
Well, I've always said, you know, your vitamins, soup and tea, your fruits and vegetables, you know, getting in that little bit of exercise could flush all them germs out. Because I believe if you were severely sick in 2019, your ass had coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
COVID. For weeks and months at a time, you had the shit.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's airborne. Everyone thinks I be talking crazy. I'm like, how is it if I could go touch the table? You come by and put your hand in your mouth. You got it. That sounds like airborne to me. Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to do our segment for today. Thank y'all for listening. I appreciate y'all on these other platforms watching this live.
Thank you.
Appreciate y'all, man. And, I'll be back with another one, man. I got some 2 more volumes coming. I promise you it's coming. I'm just putting it together. Great Black Inventors is coming. And then after the Great Black Inventors 4 and 5, I got some more topics as well that I'm going to cover. But thanks for watching, everybody. I appreciate y'all so much. Peace and blessing.
Peace.